Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burial grounds would be nice. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century. From I Love Lucy to News Radio, I am your TV god, Barb Hardley. And when I'm a boy, Brett White. I'm a senior reporter producer for Decider.com. Say hello to the Brian Keith, to my Sebastian Cabot. Sebastiana Cabot? Ethan K. Hello, Ethan.
Hello, Barb. It's good to see you again after an unfortunate hiatus. We have to acknowledge this right at the top. We have not recorded in a while. There was personal stuff.
Oh, God.
Quite a bit of personal stuff.
Yes.
We are back in the saddle, so to speak.
Appropriate for today.
And the reason that Barb says that is because we have taken a challenge that was laid down over a year ago.
Which was like a year and a half when we first subjected ourselves to this.
Yeah, it was the Christmas episode of Family Affair. We call it the Family Affair Challenge because we watched one episode of Family Affair, a Christmas in July episode that is one of the highest rated episodes of Family Affair. Yet it is all about child death and it is not funny.
So Eve Plum getting that, you know, early dramatic role
as a child dying in a bed. So we put the call out there. Family Affair, I got to say, was one of the episodes that was watched by quite a few people on YouTube. It is not our best, but it is far from our worst. And we said if this show had to have fans, it lasted for like seven seasons.
Every boomer loves this show.
I talked to my mother-in-law and she's like, oh, we used to go over to the neighbor's house and watch this. My neighbor had the Mrs. Beasley doll. So we said there has to be an episode that is good.
Yeah.
We watched a terrible episode of it.
Oh, no. Well, we got our dear friend suggested this one.
Yes. Our friend Jessica Pruitt-Barnett.
Yes.
Who was a neighbor, still a friend. I'm seeing her later, just a couple weeks from now. But she said, it's a funny show. You should watch this particular episode, which is Family Affair, Season 2, Episode 27, Mr. French's Holiday.
Oh, boy. Before we get into the drama of this, I do want to show off the drama of my gown.
Did you make this one?
Because I made this one and I got to show it. Oh, God, I'm molting. The feathers are falling off of. Hold on. Okay.
Danger of feathers.
How much can you see?
That's a lot of leg there.
Hey.
Woo-hoo. It's very Psylocke circa 2005.
See? But no, yeah, I'm a seamstress now. I can't help it. Turning looks, please watch on YouTube.
Because if you don't see it on YouTube, it you can't hear this dress. No. You can't hear this dress over a podcast. You have to watch it.
I do think I have worn some dresses that can be heard though.
Well, the necklace
could be heard.
It's purple. It's very big.
And the bird, the ostriches that were these purple, the purple ostriches that gave us these feathers.
R.I.P. Purple ostriches. But we do thank you for listening on whatever podcast listening app you happen to be listening to us on and watching us on YouTube.
Yes,
because
and
we're good looking.
Oh, I'm gorgeous. I'm actually very proud of my makeup tonight because it has been a long time. It's been at least a month and a half since I've gotten into drag. So, ta-da. Oh, and plug for the season premiere of HBO's We're Here, premiering Friday, April 26th at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. For I Am On It.
Ooh.
Because this is the show where three drag queens go to small towns to try to encourage the local queer communities by putting on a big drag show. And it is more relevant than ever because we live in hell. And they went to my hometown of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, because apparently I come from hell. They passed a whole lot of crazy laws that are very transphobic, dragphobic, everything phobic. And so I went down there and performed in an open stage drag show. Barb did. And I'm just saying, if you watch the season premiere, you might see me.
You don't know yet?
And you might hear me. I might know for certain, but probably cannot say because as a member of the press, I'm privy to screeners.
Oh!
But, you know, I don't know. I
deep
don't know,
information.
But I'm saying 9 p.m. Friday HBO. I'm TV now, but
you have that deep background, that deep information, deep throat.
Shh, mommy secret. Okay, God, that was creepy as hell. This week we'll be traveling to March 18th, 1968. Stay Away, Joe, ruled the box office. Sitting on the Dock of the Bay by Otis Redden topped the charts. And CBS aired the Family Affair episode, Mr. French's Holiday. Ethan, you must have seen Mr. French's Holiday before today.
No, but I'm probably sure that everybody else in America who was alive at the time watched Family Affair, yeah. Mr. French's Holiday, because everyone seems to talk so highly of this show.
If you are over the age of 55...
Fair enough.
60, probably over the age of 60. You love this episode. You know it. You're conjuring up images of Jody in your mind, and you're just laughing hysterically because, oh, that little stinker. What is our history with Family Affair? That is this section of the podcast, our history with the show. We went into our history with the show.
It's important to recap. Let me see if I can find the notes. Because We gave it a shot. This is one of those things where we said this was one of the top rated shows of the time. This is definitely something that we need to cover on the podcast. And we were doing it as part of a Christmas block because we watched Father Knows Best for the 1950s.
Well, and I wanted you to watch this, the Family Affair Christmas episode, because I had subjected myself to it, not knowing what I was getting into like a year or so before. And I was like, oh, Ethan needs to see the Christmas episode where Jan Brady is a terminally ill child and dies and straight up dies. And they have to like explain to Buffy what death is. Merry Christmas. Loved it.
I cannot believe that they did that. It was phenomenal how awful and unfunny it was. That was the catch, is that like so much of Family Affair's jokes are some adult saying something serious, one of the kids saying something just not funny, but kind of inconsequential, just apropos of very little, and then the laugh track goes, okay, it's great, we're having a good time. The laugh track is the most bored laugh track I have ever heard.
Well, I feel like they know that they can't put in the big guffaws, they can't hit the big laugh button, they know they can't get away with that. It has to be like
none of the jokes
I feel like it's the same laugh track that they used on Scooby-Doo. You know, where it's like, we know this is a cartoon. There's no humans in that room.
It's very lackluster. And now I'm looking for my notes. Oh, here it is. We watched Christmas Came a Little Early. It was season 3, episode 7. Once again, this is if we can remind folks that Brian Keith didn't want to be on the show, So he filmed all of his blocks, all of his scenes in 30-day blocks back to back. He shot 60 days per season, 30 days at a time.
And he loved this episode because he's hardly in it.
And I believe the same thing happened with Sebastian Cabot, who plays Mr. French, where he also liked to group his scenes together because he was also doing stage at the same time and film.
Oh, God.
So this is a series that lasted so long and no one wanted to be on it.
Well, I will say, you know, I did watch this show a little bit when I was a child. My mom loves this show because, again, boomers love this show. That's our history of Family Affair. I will say this. I think the Family Affair challenge still stands. And I will take another request for a funny episode.
But Jess we'll gave us another it. One, but we want to give open it up to other people.
We'll see. So this week on Must Have Seen TV, we're talking about the Family Affair episode, Mr. French's Holiday. It is the 27th episode of season 2, and it was written by Lois Heyer, a woman getting it done in the 1960s, writing television. There were very few of them. We love Lois Heyer, directed by Charles Burton. And here is how Freebie describes the episode. Mr. French takes a 2-week vacation to the West with the others staying home. When Bill is called away to South America for work, the children end up flying out west to be with Mr. French. It makes his vacation more enjoyable. What the hell? How accurate is that description? And
you can take it with a grain of salt. I think it puts a positive spin on how Mr. French actually reacted.
I also think that, like, we need to talk to Freebie about what the little synopses are supposed to be. You're not supposed to tell the entire plot of the episode.
I want to just mention a couple names. Lois Heyer, the writer for this, it was her episode. She wrote it. This was the only episode of Family Affair that she wrote. However, she did write 18 episodes of My Three Sons and worked on. Well, it's hard to say because she was the credited writer on these, but she might have been in the writer's room and just not actually credited. Yeah. For some of these, but she's officially credited for 18 episodes of My Three Sons. The director, Charles Barton, Disney fans might remember him from The Shaggy Dog. He directed that.
Oh.
Did 106 episodes of Family Affair, 78 episodes of Amos and Andy, which I do not believe we are going to do on this show. Most importantly, he directed 6 Abbott and Costello films, including Buck Privates and Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Well, isn't Buck Privates the first one?
I believe so. So, yeah, he was involved with them. And Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein is, in my opinion, the best one.
I need to see that. That'll be this Halloween.
Oh, Bela Lugosi. Lon Chaney Jr., Glenn Strange as the monster, little cameo by Vincent Price. Solid film.
Oh, God. I know it is interesting that you say, you know, he directed The Shaggy Dog because for some reason, Family Affair gives me live action Disney vibes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like the film grain.
It's the film grain. It's the Brian Keith.
There's something about it that feels very. This is one of the like weird movies on Disney Plus that you're like, wait a second, what? 1967, an aunt becomes a mayor of a small town in Ireland. Okay.
There's no rule that says that this bottle of water can't be the coach of a major football team.
Whoa. Starring Brian Keith, probably.
And Dean Jones. It was the post Walt. Walt died in 66. So there was still kind of working through ideas that he had germinated with him, but still feeling themselves out through the late 60s, early 70s.
And he was like on his deathbed, a shaggy dog, a barefoot executive,
horse, gray flannel suit, make it work.
this episode starts with man, they just it's like Star Wars A New Hope. We jump right into the deep end. It's like Mr. French is already packing. He is already on the way out.
And he, Mr. French, if you're not familiar with the show, Mr. French is the domestic, a butler,
yes,
childcare for a character named Bill, played by Brian Keith, who was the dad in Let's Get Together, The Parent Trap. Mm. That's how I remember The Parent Trap, is by singing the song. Bill has taken custody of his three two nieces and one nephew, okay. Sissy, Buffy, and Jody. Their parents should go to jail. Sissy's in college. Jody and Buffy
No. Like, she's in college?
Well, okay. I don't know.
How old is she in this season? Because her being in college negates the entire premise of this episode.
She might be in high school. She was in college. The actor, Kathy Garver, was in college when they filmed this.
Okay.
So she might have been.
I don't know.
But the kids are definitely in elementary school.
Yes, they're little ones.
Right and left.
And I love that Brian Keith. So two things. First of all, yes, Brian Keith, sexy, very handsome. Barb would climb that man like a tree. Now that I'm rewatching ER and I'm in season 8, but I noticed this time Brian Keith has kind of George Clooney energy.
Yeah,
it's like this like disheveled, handsome, kind of like head down, like, oh, you know, like, okay, the kind of mumbly energy.
I think the best way to describe Brian Keith is a man who sounds like his mouth is full of cigarettes, even when it's not full of cigarettes.
Oh, what a dream. Yeah, no, he mumbles everything. And I love how big a deal phone calls are on this show. Because I feel like there were a lot of phone calls in the Christmas one, too. So it's like you've got a guy who, again, whose mouth is just Marlboro Factory.
Going to do out this with Barman.
Doing a lot of one-sided telephone conversations. But no, like he's like Sebastian Cabot, Mr. French is very much like, do I need to take both all 2 weeks at once? I can stay, you know, et cetera. I feel so, you know, he feels responsible for this family that he's taken care of and he doesn't want to, but it's like, no. You saved up these 2 weeks. You go, boy. You go to the Old West and see if it's just like Buffalo Bill told your dad or something.
Yeah, Buffalo. Mr. French is British, and when Buffalo Bill came over to England with his traveling show, he spoke to Mr. French's father, and Mr. French's father was very excited and passed that enthusiasm down to his son, a.k.a. Mr. French, who wants to go see museums and burial grounds and churches.
Of Native Americans. Like he's going out to the Old West. So, yes. Yeah, so, like, trigger warning, spoiler warning, sensitivity warning. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, 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 are we dealing with a 1968 frame of reference for Native Americans? And wow, it is. I forget. And this also existed when we were kids because we grew up on the media of the past.
Right.
So we also grew up seeing just a lot of like Looney Tunes, old sitcoms, old movies where it's just like, Native Americans are treated as like xenomorphs, you know. There's like or the Chitauri in Avengers, just like a nameless force for like, ooh, they're gonna get you. They come in droves, like just very
Native
wild.
American is not the word that they used for.
No, also, yeah,
the,
no, no, no,
the, them.
Which I feel like has been maybe reclaimed, but I'm not going to use it. I don't know.
Yes,
It is an interesting reminder of just like how from like the 50s and 60s, just like Westerns. And also, did you do the research on? Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it later when
if you did the research, I appreciate it.
I did not do any research, baby, except for. So yeah, he's going to the Old West. little Jody comes in, who is just, little Jody looks like if the Lucky Charms mascot, but a child.
missing various teeth, red hair. He later in life starred in A Talking Cat.
Oh, which is, wait, did he die recently or is he still alive?
He's still alive.
Oh, whoa.
Johnny Whitaker is still alive, as far as I know.
Buffy died. Did Sissy also die?
No, Sissy is still alive.
Buffy died like almost like very young, like 18 or something.
Yeah. Kathy Garver, who played Sissy, is still alive. Okay. But yes, Anissa Jones, who played Buffy, died in 1976.
Yeah. So I want to acknowledge that while we are dragging these children to filth, we do recognize they had hard lives as adults.
They do have hard lives.
Wish them well.
I did like Johnny Whitaker in A Talking Cat. Okay. It was probably the best film that was ever shot using a fake cat mouth shot on a porn set.
With just like that weird black hole, just like opening. Yeah, so he comes in. He's got a lot of ideas about the Old West. He's worried about Mr. French having to like ride horseback and battle Native Americans. That's the other thing. I'm like, it is so nuts what children thought. I mean, where was he going? Like New Mexico, Arizona?
Yeah, like Arizona.
Like these he are was cities. Going to Arizona. I was like, it's not, yeah, it's just wild to me. It's just.
And he says, Mr. French, do you want to take my guns? Which is a very American thing to say.
Yeah, toy guns.
Toy guns.
Thankfully. But, you know, then he's gone, right? I mean, he pieces out. They all say goodbye to him.
He's gone. They say goodbye. No, they don't. They say goodbye to him because they see him out the door. And that's where I got to see the doors that had the doorknob in the middle of the door, which blows my mind every time. It's like a Hobbit kind of thing.
Oh, wow. I would live in this apartment. I love this apartment.
Oh, yeah.
I live in this apartment.
Oh, huge apartment. Because Bill is an architect. He builds buildings and particularly bridges. Bridges come up in both this episode and the last episode. He builds bridges all over the world. Famous architect.
But it's very hard for him to build a bridge to his niece and nephews.
Because
from one heart to another.
Because he was only filming 30 days at a time. Like, all of his scenes.
Y'all got 30 days. We'll bond, then I'm gone.
And then I'm marrying cigarettes.
And then as soon as Mr. French is gone, do we even get to see where Mr. French goes? Or does it immediately like Bill's out, Brian Keith is out? Or do we see?
Well, they're cleaning the house. We get a little scene of everybody pitches in and does Mr. French's job, which is cleaning the house. Mr. French sends a nice postcard to say, hello, I landed. Everything is fine. And of course, Jody asks, did he fight any Native Americans?
Oh, my God.
I said, no, he's at Little Bighorn, though, and that's where Custer fought the Native Americans.
He's a great man. Everything's great. Yeah, just et cetera, et cetera.
Nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah,
we get a weird cutaway to Mr. French on a soundstage in California, which is classic Old West, like it's when it looks like this the setting of Three Amigos,
yeah,
where it's just a very old church. They have a couple people wandering around. They have an extra dressed as a priest, and Mr. French walks out of the church, and then the scene ends.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a
his best life. It's because in 1968 you couldn't show him going to the gay bar, the Bear Harness Night. Right after that, because that's where he was headed. I know. Sebastian Cabot is also handsome, and I love everything he wears. Very dapper.
And as far as we know, he was straight. He was married to the same woman from I think the mid 1940s up until his death.
Oh, good work.
They did have a daughter together. But he did die of a stroke. Everyone, you know, most people here did die.
Most people do. None of them are Highlanders, as far as we know. Although Jody might be. Looks Irish, Scottish.
Johnny Whitaker, you might be able to make it happen. you might be able to be the Highlander for Family Affair.
Oh, God. Yeah, man. Then we get, so Bill has to go.
Bill has to leave.
Because there's contrived. A bridge in South America that, like, he's got to go, like, hold up with his own two hands.
What country in South America? We're not told. It's just South America.
You know, just dart. Just throw a dart at the map, and that's where he's going. That's where he just builds bridges.
Apparently, it's a difficult way to get there. He has to take a plane to another plane, to a bus, to a jeep that gets him out into the middle of prime bridge building territory.
Where all the water is. Well, now this is where... Okay, they have to figure out what to do with the children. So first of all, Sissy is old enough to watch Buffy and Jody.
Indeed she is.
Right? I mean, like, she's... Indeed. If the actress is in college, that means that the character is in high school. And... Let's I don't know. I guess you would feel weird about, like, a 14-year-old... No. Here is the solution. Traveling back in time, sitting Brian Keith down and being like, she's like 14 minimum. She's 14 to 17. If you are nervous, you apparently know a ton of people in this building. Have them come by, like, have Mrs. Halloran come down and, like, make breakfast in the morning, or, like, just make sure that everything's fine. And then have someone come down in the evening and have dinner with them. And then, like, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm a parent. I'm a mother now.
Kathy Garver was either 22 or 23 when this was filmed. So she was probably playing much younger.
Like 16, probably.
Yeah, let's say 16. I think your solution is better than the solution that they came up with. Well, the reason that Bill's against this is, Sissy, you have to go to school. And that apparently is the end of the conversation. That's all you need to say for Sissy to be like, oh, yeah, I have to go to school. Why are the children not in school? We don't know.
Yeah, they're both like kindergarten age, right?
Well,
at least preschool.
They have friends at school. We saw it in the...
Oh, right. One of them died.
One of them died. Yes. So, yeah, it's kind of a contrived plot. So their solution is, oh, Jody can stay with his friend Peter, aka Richard, because they messed up the name a couple times. They went back and forth. Sometimes he's Peter, sometimes he's Richard.
Oh, man.
While Sissy and Buffy get to go upstairs with another neighbor.
Yeah. This is when we get to see Jody's one sleepover night, and I was worried we were going a repeat.
Yes.
The last time.
Yes. Jody wakes up in a bed next to Peter Richard, and Peter Richard won't wake up. Peter Richard is, because I thought the same thing. I'm like, wait a minute. Is this another dead kid in the bed?
Well, then he turns around and his entire face is swollen like Captain Kirk in Star Trek in that one scene, the Chris Pine, but he's all bloated. But anyway, his mouth is like, it's like he's storing nuts for winter.
Yeah, he looks like Randy, the ventriloquist marionette from Pee-wee's Playhouse. He's got these big...
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, but he has mumps.
Got mumps. Mumps is contagious. Mumps is bad.
It's contagious as hell.
They got Jody the F out of there.
Yeah.
Jody is now back at the apartment. And Sissy's solution is, Mr. French, well, he works for us. He should cut his vacation asshole short.
You tell that she's like, I'm a college kid. I don't understand how the world works, that people are people. Yeah.
They had this great exchange where Jody says, that'll spoil his vacation. And Sissy goes, he won't mind.
Sissy, you need to learn how the world works. She's like, oh, man, we're living it up with my super rich uncle. Like, I know what privilege is.
He better get back here. When I snap my fingers, Mr. French better cancel his vacation.
But then Jody, who has not been tempted by the spoils of privilege, is like, I don't want him to ruin his vacation. I don't want to be the one that ruins his vacation. So the insane solution they come up with.
The insane solution.
Is to, okay, so, the, oh, okay, it was like, the back the truck up of, like, we cannot leave the, like, six-year-olds and the 14-year-old alone. Cannot. They gotta go somewhere. But what we can do is drive the little six-year-old to JFK or whatever, God, what was it called before JFK? I don't know. And just, like,
I have to look
like,
it up because it's gonna kill me.
Just like, scoot, 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 scoot onto American Airlines, little Jody. Pan Am. You're going to fly.
Idlewild.
Idlewild. Yeah. Drive him out to Idlewild. Drop him off at the gate. And then just like shoot him across the country.
With his guns. Because he brought his toy guns with him.
What a different time.
Times were completely different. The terminal where they dropped, where he landed, was about the size of this room.
Yeah.
Set, but it was tiny. It was microscopic. It was wings size.
I guess in 1968, like, maybe, because in the 60s, going up until, like, you know, 2001, you could walk all the way to the gate. So I guess, like, the logic is, I can walk my child up to the gate, where he then gets on a hermetically sealed tube and is almost like shot like a tube at the bank all the way to Arizona, where he comes out and is immediately at Sebastian Cabot. So like nowadays it would be like, let them go. And then like, well, fingers crossed, little Jody can get through security alone. Can then, you know, find the Abompon to eat and find the gate. And then who knows? Like, yeah, it's much more dangerous now. So I guess it makes a little sense.
It was easier for them. French gets the call while he's at dinner alone. Kind of sad. But you know what? I wouldn't mind being alone by myself traveling.
I know. I would love the things that I want to do. I mean, some of my favorite. This is so stupid and very me, but some of my like favorite international or like travel moments are when I get to go do set visits for work. Like when I got to go up to Toronto to visit the set of The Boys, and I realized that the hotel they put us up in was across the street from a shopping mall, and that is where I ate all of my meals. And it was like, I'm gonna go that food court calling my name, and I loved it. I loved it.
I just last year I went to San Antonio by myself. For the Society of Biblical Literature conference, had a great time, just like Mr. French in the South. I went to the Museum of the West, the Cowboy Museum.
See,
but it was fantastic. I had a great time. I'm going to do the same for San Diego this year.
Oh,
it's just nice to get out.
Jody arrives. Mr. French has an itinerary. That itinerary just needs to be put through a shredder immediately because. Okay, here is the one time I laughed. Was when, like, Mr. French was listing all of the, like, museums. Like, we're going to go see the burial grounds. We're going to go see the... And then I can't even remember what Jody's response was, but Jody's response made me laugh. Was just like, oh, great. Oh, yeah.
I
thought that was funny.
I was fuming because this is a man that put his itinerary together. It was step by step. This was his dream vacation that he wanted to go on since he was a boy.
His father talked it up.
And he's just like, oh, we're going to go see the burial.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, They always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Grounds, and then we're going to see this museum and then that museum. And all it takes is this little shit, Jody, to be like, I don't want to do that. And Mr. French is like, okay, we won't do that.
It is also wild because, like, Jody's whole thing is like, I want to see Native Americans. Like, I want to just, you know, just strap on my little guns and run around in a ghost town. I thought he would be interested in go seeing a museum of, like, here, the thing that you want to see here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, probably not, like, well-preserved or, like, taken care of or accurate or gotten by any kind of ethical means. But, like I would be interested in a museum as a kid.
I would be interested in a museum. I love museums as a kid. This is, I can also imagine that if you were to say to a kid, hey, do you want to go to a museum? Sure. Do you want to go to a museum of Native Americans? Cool. Do you want to go to see a museum of Native American pottery art? And the kid would be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Pottery art? Like, it's interesting because this was right about the same time that, maybe a little bit later, that Vincent Price really got into Southwestern Native art and was one of the people that was kind of responsible for saying, hey, white people, this is really cool art, and getting that spread around.
Work Vincent Price.
Yeah, just one of those little strange little things I picked up over time. So
instead, Mr. French is like, there's a ghost town, which is code for the set of gun smoke that they aren't using or whatever.
Yeah. So they go. I don't have a lot of notes for this because not much happened. They go ghost town, which is shot so poorly. They are filming in one direction only. They do not show anything to the right or behind the camera. It is focused solely on a stagecoach.
Yeah, and they get on the stagecoach. Jody gets up and gets off of it.
They pull out the guns because they're afraid that 1 million Native Americans are on the warpath, which is just like, oh, see? My God, what did 50s and 60s
Chitauri
show us?
It's just like, or like putties, like... And yeah, imagine just like a bunch of like putty patrollers coming out like around Mr. Cabot, around Mr. French. I would love to see Mr. French like totally body some putty.
I would like Mr. French to be the big head in
Zordon, right?
Zordon, yeah. To be the big head in Power Rangers. Okay, Rangers, someone's at the playground fighting again.
Well, Jody would be the Orange Ranger, we could tell, just because of that hair.
Just leave him at the base, put him in like a coat closet or something,
like, and
let him
be Alpha 5 anyway. So yeah, then a bunch of Native Americans do show up and they like are like, oh my God, but it turns out they're actors and they're on break, and Jody's like, oh, this is cool, I'm seeing like real Native Americans. What do y'all eat for lunch? Tuna. What do tourists eat for lunch? Also tuna, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ethan, were any of these actors actually Native American or were they all Italians?
It's hard to say. The only Native American that spoke, that had any lines, was Dennis Cross. And I looked him up and he did. It's hard to say because he did a lot of Western TV and movies, but he never played Native Americans.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is this, it's hard. I don't know. He's not a big enough name that he has like a huge Wikipedia page with his whole backstory. But I did look him up, and he was on multiple episodes of Gunsmoke playing multiple characters, none of whom were Native Americans. And any of the movies he played. He's just
so funny. It's so like in retrospect, just wild to just have like Jody. Oh my my God, real Native American. Well, I mean, I guess to Jody, yeah. White people playing Native Americans are real Native Americans to Jody, because that's all he sees on TV and movies. So,
Iron Eyes Cody was an Italian man. Yeah, so I think that the actors were being very generous to Jody and Mr. French. They're like, yeah. Oh, we came over here to eat our lunch. Would you like to eat your lunch with us? And they're like, oh, my God, fantastic. We're eating here. And then he says, would you like to join us on the movie set and see how a movie set runs? And Mr. French, of course, is like, oh, we had a museum we were going to go see. I don't know why I sound like Mr. Bean, but
he does, you know.
You can tell that Mr. French wants to go to this museum because his morning's already shot. He was supposed to go to a burial ground and a museum, didn't do either. But now he has to kind of, you know, kiss the ring of his employer, of Jody, of Johnny Whitaker. So
it's
they're
like
going
that
to
Twilight Zone episode where like the little kid has the omnipotent power.
Yeah, Bill Mooney.
Yeah, and it's just like, don't make him mad. He'll blink you out of existence. I will say, to Jody's defense, getting to go hang out on the movie set is pretty cool.
Yeah, and to Mr. French, like, understand that this is probably a first for you too.
Mm-hmm.
You've been to museums before.
He probably doesn't like films. He prefers the theater.
I enjoy some cinema, but very little of it. Mr. French are also wearing a three-piece suit at all times,
looking
in the southwestern heat.
Amazing. And this is where I want to, at some point, I want to try to do an article or an interview about, I don't understand why suit construction, just like, not even like removing style from everything, just the way the suits are constructed and the materials they use somehow compare like what Mr. French is wearing to like what's worn on like suits or whatever. There's something just like very polyester, very shiny, very just like cheap looking about all modern suits on television. Very, very JCPenney, you know, whereas like Mr. Sebastian Cabot's suits look spectacular. And again, I don't know if it's like HD versus SD. Like, there's a lot of factors at play here. I just wanted to boil this down to is Mr. French is serving looks, honey.
He has all the accessories. He's got the chains. Yeah. He's got the cufflinks. He's got the vest. Those things aren't necessarily shown on regular television.
And I took from my dad's nightstand. My grandfather's mason ring that I should probably show you at some point.
I had a mason ring, and it looked like, if you remember in National Treasure, when Harvey Keitel shows off his ring, I was like, ooh, that's a ring that I like. And I got one that looked like that. So it had a big black stone on it and the swearing compasses. And I wore it for a while as like a pinky ring. I wore it just on my right hand. It wasn't a pinky ring. And one day I swung my hand too hard.
Uh-oh.
As I was coming into my apartment, and I smacked the ring on my door and it shattered the stone.
Oh, man. Like,
fuck. And I never got another mason ring after that.
Wow. Well, this one's really tiny. It's really silver tiny. Got some diamonds in it.
Ooh. And you sure it was his?
Well, now I'm like, was it my grandmother's? Because they were Eastern Star.
Yeah.
Which is... whatever, I'm wearing it on my pinky. Who cares?
Yeah, no
but
shame.
But it has
in that.
Like the mason insignia on one of the sides, and then yeah. But yeah, so this is where the plot thickens, where the family that Buffy and Sissy are staying at, they're like, oh my God, we've never had the mumps or something. Like,
yeah, the family
says they're worried.
Yeah, the transitive property of mumps is that Peter Richard got mumps. Jody was exposed to it. Jody was exposed to Sissy and Buffy. Sissy and Buffy were exposed to Sharon, played by Diane Mountford, in just one great scene. Fantastic work. How many episodes was she in? She was in 5 episodes of Family Affairs.
We got a recurring. Yeah. Vaccinate your children, people.
Also, the other recurring character is Betty Lynn, who played Miss Lee, who was Bill's aide.
Oh, yeah.
She's in a lot of these scenes talking with Bill, especially, but she's also kind of like, oh, we'll just call Miss Lee. She'll figure it out. She was the go-between all of Sissy's conversations with Mr. French. She's very well known for playing Don Knotts's girlfriend in the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, we love A plus. Good, good, good.
So a little fun trivia.
So now this is where two more, like paint cans on a staircase, two more obstacles come swinging at Mr. French.
Now we have to bring Mr. French back, or we can go out there ourselves. Fuck his vacation.
Yeah.
Vacation he saved up for.
This is the other thing of like, again, like Sissy, you were old enough. You're definitely old enough to take care of one Moppet.
Exactly.
Not two. Like, you could take care of two, one, whatever. They get on the plane, they fly out there, and why do I keep doing this? And just like DJ coming back from vacation with Steve, or Ross coming back from his work trip with Julie, Sissy found a man on that flight.
Sissy found a man named Randy Stone.
Did they give him a full name?
He has a full name. He's Randy Stone. He's played by Danny Lorenz. Only did like a handful of TV episodes. Nothing fantastic.
But she's like, oh, he's a local. He knows all the hot stuff to do.
So while she is... how old is she? She's 23, playing 17. He's in real life is actually 24, playing like looking like he's 39. He is rough looking.
Cigarettes.
Yeah, is hard living of the 1960s. So of course, they want to go to Indian ruins and burial grounds. Well, Mr. French wants to go to.
And then Buffy gets a repeat of what Jody was like. Oh, yeah. Burial grounds would be nice. Like, I chuckled at that as well. Of just like them kids being like, yeah, those burial grounds sound nice.
I just looked at them like, you are totally ruining this man's vacation with your fucking privilege, your fucking money that is controlling this man's life. Like. No, yeah. You stay here at the airport. Mr. French will be back for you in a couple days after he sees these burial grounds that he's been waiting to see his whole life. There's a Panera. Go get it. That's where you eat from now on.
Oh, God. Panera sounds so good right now, though. anyway. So they go to the discotheque.
Yeah, that blows my mind. Okay, let's take one step back and just have... The suggestion that Sissy makes, which is if they don't want to go to the burial grounds and the Indian ruins, there's the grooviest discotheque.
An all ages discotheque that serves food. I don't think that's the grooviest one.
No.
I don't think so.
But Mr. French, because he's
British.
I don't know. He's British and employed. Does not want to rock the boat. And he's employed and wants to stay employed, says, I've always wanted to see a genuine Western swinging discotheque.
And so they go. He is fascinated
like an Italian
by like
a restaurant with a dance floor.
Yeah, it feels very much. It's very Happy Days feeling. Or like it's.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's got the I've been watching the Monkees. And because I got the box set for my birthday and in one of those scenes, it was like, oh, we're going to this fancy club. And I'm like, OK, there are tables there with red and white checkered tablecloths and like nonsense hanging on
Pizza
the wall.
Pizza Hut got its start as a discotheque.
Swinging. Grooviest discotheque in
grooviest
the Southwest.
Pizza discotheque. Yeah. And so, they're dancing.
Mr. French likes the disco. Like
he's enjoying it.
He's bopping in his seat. He's not out of his chair.
No. He's hungry. He's just like he had plans to go to a restaurant. They're like, they have hamburgers and fries here. Sissy's like, let Rocco or whatever is it. Let him order.
Randy.
Let Randy order. And it's just like, you're Randy. Not like, you're not like a French restaurant where you don't, you can't read the menu. He's ordering you guys burgers and fries.
Like,
I don't think he needs the responsibility for the whole table.
I bet. I really hope that Randy got to like at least second base with Sissy.
Do you think it'd be funny if like Burial Grounds was like the name of a drag queen that Mr. French is just like dying to like, I need to get with Burial Grounds. Muriel Grounds? Yeah, Burial. That's could be a good name.
It could also be the name of a really great goth club.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, Mr. French, you wanted to see some Burial Grounds? Well, down the street, we've got Burial Grounds, too. And they go in, the music's all like...
just like people in leather and cages.
Yeah, really cool.
The blood rain star, the blood spring.
Everyone's dressed in like black wedding dresses and they're playing Sisters of Mercy. And it's like, ooh, you know.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, that's more interesting than what happens, which is a fully lit place where they play royalty-free, like, dude music. And
Jody and Buffy are like, yay, we're hopped up on caffeine from these sodas we're drinking.
I mean, it's like they're at Chuck E. Cheese. Like, Sissy, what is your idea of a hot discotheque?
Why would you drag your family here?
Like, there's under no circumstances, like...
If I had a fucking dollar or two for every time Jody said, oh, boy... I'd retire because he says it. He says it all the time. It's just
they eat there.
He tears up the schedule.
He's like, it's enough. Then they go back home. Wait, and how does it end?
Mr. French tells them like. Mr. Bill's there first. Mr. French comes in with them and they're like, oh, we went to this discotheque and we went to this ghost town. And there was also mention of a doll show, which.
Oh, yeah.
thankfully didn't see.
Couldn't afford it.
Bill brought presents from South America. and Mr. French just looks like someone just said, hey, you know, this number, this used to be your whole vacation account. And now it's down to zero because you spent all this money on these other people.
But honestly,
you have nothing. You got nothing.
Isn't watching Buffy and Jody really like a vacation? Every day is a vacation here.
4-day work week, please. Universal income.
Oh my God, please. Jesus. Are you ready for some must-have facts?
I got one for you too.
Oh, goody. Let's start with yours.
So it's a fun little story that I love to tell. This aired on March 18th, 1968, which was the date that Mel Brooks's The Producers premiered.
Oh.
But so here, I always love telling this story about why we almost didn't get to see The Producers because no one wanted to go see it. So the movie was done by Mel Brooks, it was his first movie. No one knew him. No one knew Gene Wilder. And unless you knew theater, you didn't know Zero Mostel. So you have no frame of reference what this is. You don't want to go see this movie. It premieres at a 3,000 seat theater in Philadelphia where there is no one there. Mel Brooks says there was one woman who was drunk and asleep in the front row, and that was it. So Mel Brooks is like, this movie is flopped. The film studio is like, this movie's flopped. We're not going to do anything with this. So fast forward to, I don't know what how much later it was. I think it had to be 1968. Peter Sellers was in the United States. He had been working on I Love You, Alice B. Toklas, which is a great film. And he didn't have anything to do. He didn't know enough people. He was just stuck there. And he said, I would like to do a film society. I went where we find wonderful films that we want to show off and we make a bunch of food based on that, that film. So the first one that he calls up Paul Mazursky, who's the creator of The Monkees, But he also wrote I Love You, Alice B. Toklas. And he said, you know, this is what I'd like to do. And Mazursky, they put on it's an Indian film, and they get a whole bunch of Indian food, and they get marijuana laced brownies, and they have a fantastic time. And they said, Paul, you're going to be next. What film would you like to do? And he says, oh, I would like to do Vitelloni by Fellini. And we're going to have Italian food. My wife is going to cook a big pot plate of pasta. And Paul Mazursky is not British. So I'm just making him sound the British. And we're going to have pasta and finger foods. And they get to the night, and his wife has this big pot of pasta, and they have all this food. And Peter Sellers says, let's start Vitelloni. And Mazursky is like, I didn't order it. Did anyone order the film, this Fellini film? And now they're like, no, I thought you were going to do it. And he's like, I didn't. I thought someone else was going to order it. I thought I just named the movie and it just gets done. So they're looking, they call up to the booth. Is Vitelloni up there? No, it's not. We don't got no Vitelloni. And Peter Sellers is like, what do you have? And the guy's like, well, I got this thing, the producers. Here, I don't know what it is, but it's up here. And Peter Sellers is upset. He's like, I don't even want to see Vitelloni now. I just play something. 10 minutes into it, he's laughing his head off. The movie ends. He immediately calls up people he knows in England. It's 3 a.m. And he's like, tomorrow we're putting out at full page ads and all the trades about this movie, the producers, how wonderful it is, how funny it is. And you can read the... You can read the ads online, just being like, this is the funniest movie ever made. Go see this. And that's how Peter Sellers saved the producers.
It's insane.
It's a great story. It's one of my favorite stories. And I know I just devoted a whole bunch of time on this podcast to Peter Sellers and the producers, but it's a great story.
It's more riveting than this episode of A Family Affair.
Yeah.
Was rated number 4 for the season. Watched by about 25 million people. Yeah, so like apparently like around this time they were doing Nielsen ratings in 2-week chunks, so I don't have the specific week. But for that 2-week chunk though, it was in the top 15 for that chunk.
Wow.
Definitely. Number 4 for the whole season though.
Wow.
In terms of and then other hit TV episodes or shows, specials that during that chunk are Jack Benny and Bill Cosby had comedy specials. Andy Griffith Show was number 3. Number 2 was The Ice Capades for 1968. And number 1 was a Bob Hope special. The CBS Monday night lineup was All Killer, No Filler, Gunsmoke, The Lucy Show, The Andy Griffith Show, Family Affair, and then The Carol Burnett Show.
Oh, those poor people who had to sit through Family Affair to get to Carol Burnett.
They knew what they were doing. Also, it is wild. Like, A Family Affair is like the biggest show for children. It's on very late. 8:39. Yeah, it's on at 9:30. Yeah, that is weird.
Really,
but that should be up after. But I guess this is not the kids get to stay up late. I don't know. So it is March 18th, 1968. You're not seeing the producers because no one is. What are you watching? On ABC, we've got Peyton Place, the episode, Dr. Rossi's brother is hiding out from trouble. Dr. Rossi's brother is hiding out from trouble. Rodney and Elliot quarrel over the baby. Norman takes Joe home to dinner. And then, Joe, if you're smart, you'll not get mixed up with these clowns. I miss the days when blurbs could have opinions on the shows. On CBS, Family Affair. Vacationing in a frontier town, French suddenly becomes a Wild West nanny when the kiddies descend upon him. And on NBC, you can watch the second half of The Danny Thomas Hour, part 3 of The Wonderful World of Burlesque with Carol Channing, Mickey Rooney, and Wayne Newton as Danny's guests and comedy assistants. What are you watching?
I'm in for that Danny Thomas. Oh, yeah, I'm in for that Danny Thomas.
The Wonderful World of Burlesque with Carol Channing.
I'm gonna shake my assets.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a homosexual, so I'm probably watching Peyton Place. I don't know. You know, getting that primetime soap, baby.
Yeah, it's a soap opera at 9:30 in the evening.
Yeah. Did Rosemary's Baby come out? 69? So, like, Mia Farrow is on the show at this point, maybe? She went from... She went from Peyton Place to Rosemary's Baby, I think.
Now I'm going to look up exactly when it released, because now I'm interested.
I mean, yeah. But, you know, I'm going to be watching Dr. Rossi's brother hiding out from town.
June 12th, 1968. So this movie, this episode of Family Affair predated Rosemary's Baby by...
Oh, like 3 months?
4 months.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, 3 months.
On IMDb, 36 Affairites gave this an 8.2 out of 10. An 8.2 out of 10. What do you give it,
Ethan? How do you even judge something like this?
Compare it to the Christmas episode.
Did anyone die?
No.
Did they talk about people dying? No. Did it have Eve Plum? No.
Which is a negative, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd give it like maybe a 6.
Jesus.
Higher than, and that's probably high. That's me being nice.
I'm crazy in that I love that Christmas episode. I think as a chunk of television, it is delicious. It is maddening. It's perfect. And then this, I'm like, I don't know. 5.8. I don't know.
It's the jokes really don't land for me. The humor is just Jody and Buffy reacting to things like precocious kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. French is stuffy. I felt bad for him for most of this.
Yeah.
Brian Keith just looks like he misses that cigarette. He got to get that cigarette. It's off camera. He finishes the scene. He can smoke that cigarette.
They're just dangling a cigarette on like a fishing pole.
Yeah.
Like, look over here, this camera.
All right. I'm President Mickey now.
Who had the must-see performance of this episode?
Usually I'd say something like, oh, it was like this totally minor character, like Dennis Cross as Jim Tallfeather. But because normally I'd be like, oh, weird characters that just show up and you know, have a little bit of business. But he was really bad in this. Like, all of his lines were delivered kind of like this. And then he'd say the next thing. And then they'd cut to him and he'd just hold for like a second or two. And then he'd say his line.
I will give it your shot.
Yeah. You had that chance to be at 9:30 on CBS and you didn't. You know, I'd give it to Sissy.
Okay.
I'd give it to Kathy Garber.
For all the bending over backwards and making sense of this script she had to do.
I think she was kind of like peppy and cute. So like,
okay.
I don't know.
Sebastian Cabot, every day, all day, baby.
I just felt bad for him because he was sad all the time. And at the end where they're just like, did you have a good time? He's like, yeah, I had a good time. Like, no, your spirit has been completely thrashed.
Get out of that job. They don't appreciate you.
Yeah.
And must other people see this episode?
No. This episode should be like sealed in concrete and buried underground. And not open it up for another 100 couple years.
So this is where I will reissue the Family Affair Challenge Part 2.
I will go along with you on that because I think that the original Family Affair Challenge came out of, hey, this is a really funny comedy that lasted many seasons. And we watch it and it's like watching like, you know,
Peyton Place. I mean, like it's a drama.
It's a drama. And so I guess this wasn't a drama. This was more of a, I hesitate to call it a comedy, even though it had laugh track. So
well,
it was
also
a comedy.
Because like at that time, like a half hour show has to have a laugh track except Peyton Place, which was a half hour show, but wasn't a comedy. I don't know. The rules are blurry. But I do, if anyone has an episode that they think is, I'll extend it. For 2.0 of the challenge, I will extend the parameters and say, good episode. Because now I think I understand that Family Affair will probably never have a joke that will never have a joke.
Yeah. Some episodes, some shows are like that, where we watch them and we're like, this was a fine episode. I didn't really laugh, but it was good TV.
Yeah, like Father Knows Best. You know, like, okay, yeah. Yeah, so I say just a good drama, some good cute moments, heartwarming.
Barb, this was an 8.2 out of 10.
I know.
Like, this is the high bar stuff. They went to an outdoor set or two.
Those 36 Affairites really loved it. But
we made it through.
We made it through. Yay. What a way to come back. Next week is the 70s. I like the idea of trying to do dramas. but we'll see. Figure out what that is.
I feel like we already did Streets of San Francisco. And
we did. Yeah, that was a drama.
That was
a drama, honey.
Jackson. I hate giving must have seen performances to performers that I'm just like, they're cute or they're hot, like John Saxon or Sissy.
Yeah.
But literally there was nothing else going on in this episode.
Keith wasn't even in the episode that much, so I couldn't even give it to him.
It was in South America.
Yeah. But check that George Clooney energy. It was interesting. I was getting a vibe. I'm crazy. Hi. where can people find you on the internet if they want to talk to you about good episodes of Family Affair?
I am only on, I'm on a couple of things, but the only thing that you really can find me on that's interesting is Instagram at EthanK55. Barb, where can people find you on the internet?
People can follow Barb Hardley on Instagram at Barb Hardley. You can also subscribe to my YouTube channel, Barb Hardley, where I will, basically I'm going through a whole bunch of junk that I have, like this Cyclops shampoo bottle, showing it off. That's what I do on YouTube. And you can watch We're Here on April 26th, Friday night, HBO. Barb Hardley might be on it for a total of maybe 15 seconds combined, multiple shots. Thank you to everyone for listening. Please rate and review the show in iTunes or wherever you listen. Please reach out to us. Email musthaveseentv@gmail.com. Leave reviews. Comment on the YouTube. Let us know where you are. Tell me I'm beautiful. Thank you to Acast for hosting this madness. And thank you to Jess for suggesting this episode, which I still had a blast with.
Yeah, this is fun to talk about. I mean, look, it's not dead Eve Plum in a bed, but
very little is.
Yeah.
Except for like a deleted scene from a very Brady renovation.
It's not an 8.2 out of 10. I'm sorry. No, this is not a comedy.
Next time.
Next time, Gadget.
We'll see you on Must Have Seen TV, baby.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.